Speak, Jesus. I am thankful for Jesus. Amen. Where would we be without Him? Well, we've been on a journey. If you've not been here, you're going to pick up in the middle of the road. But I think you can catch us. I think. If you go back into Genesis, we talked about that a few days ago. And as we talked about this, there was an event that took place in Genesis 19. I'm not going to go back there and talk about all of that. But the latter part of that message I never did get finished. And I kindly wanted to bring it together this evening, if you will. So let me just kind of tell you where we're at with it. So Abraham, his nephew Lot, living near the land of what? Sodom and Gomorrah. The wickedness of the hearts of the people had come up before God to the point that it was nauseating. And God said, I'm getting ready to bring judgment upon that land. Last week we ended up, not last Sunday night because we had our singing, but we ended up where Abraham was interceding to God on behalf of the people of Sodom. And he went in and he said, well, if you can spare the city, if you can find 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? So God and Abraham had this conversation, and God said, yeah, sounds reasonable to me. That's a paraphrase. Well, God looked and he couldn't find not 50 righteous people in Sodom. And then God and Abraham had this conversation. And they went all the way down to what? 10. Could you imagine a society that is so engrossed by sin that there could not even be 10 people found in the city? We talked to you about simple fact that God comes by and God offers salvation. We're going to talk about that in the latter part. But God offers salvation, and you know there must come a time in all of our lives, if you will, that we've got to choose God over everything else. We talked about that this morning a little bit. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but it's a reminder of where we've already been. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? David reminded us when he sinned with Bathsheba of how that it was grievous to him, and David fell into that snare of sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 is a prayer of repentance. And David repented, and David asked the Lord to forgive him. He said, wash me clean and wash me with hyssop. Wash me with your blood. And he said that I will show transgressors their way. God has always tried to provide a way for transgressors to find their way back to God or to find God. We live in a society today that I believe that if there's anything that needs to be preached, without sounding like I'm just stuck in the mud, so to speak, that people still need to be warned about their sin. The Bible teaches us, and I'll just give you a paraphrase on it as well as we move forward. The Bible teaches you and I in 1 Timothy 5:22, again, you don't need to turn there at this point, that it says, if you look at that, it says that we do not need to participate in other men's sins. Again, Thessalonians teaches us that we are to abstain, if you will, from all, the very appearance of evil. So we are to live our lives in a manner that pleases God. We all know that. We've been in church for a long time, and we all know that this evening. But your family may not know that. You may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Colossians actually talks about that. Again, I'm not turning and reading all these scriptures over again. But Colossians 3 and 2 actually teaches us that we as people of God are to flee from certain sinful things and sinful desires of the flesh, if you will. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. You can look that up later. And then it says that we need to set our affection on things above. Be heavenly minded. Set our hearts and set our passion on things that are above. Before this message this evening, the continuation of where we've been for the last couple of weeks on this one message, I never had no idea that I would stay here this long in this message. This message dropped in my heart when I was there praying Tuesday a week ago. And it's just been a continuation of that ever since then. So I'm going to talk about some things this evening that I've talked to some of our Sunday school classes about. So this is where I want you to turn. John, that's right before the book of Revelation. And this is chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Somebody that I love and I talk to on a day-to-day basis for the most part, or at least a couple of times a week, care about this person. He and I have been having these conversations recently about living a clean life, living a pure life. And I'm not throwing stones at nobody. I'm not trying to do that. That's not my heart. But you know what? There may be other, and I say that, there may be other denominations that don't preach against sin. And people develop the mindset that they have to sin a little every day. The imperative word there is have to sin a little every day. I don't even believe that you're supposed to sin a little every day. But what do we do if we do sin? I mean, the Bible reminds us all throughout the scripture that Jesus came and Jesus died for sinners. Now somebody, and my friend Larry Johnson's not here, he might be watching and he'll give me a thumbs up later. Me and Larry were picking on each other one time and we talked about just a sinner saved by grace. And Larry and I was saying, well, I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a saint of God. And God will take the old man and God will change that. I read that scripture a few weeks ago out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, but all things become new. I'm a new creature. In baptism, it is a reminder that we are dead to the old things of this world. Our nature changes. We no longer have a desire to do the things that we would do if we were still living after the thing. I don't have a desire to sin. There's not a want to in me no longer. Are you with me? There's not a desire. I don't want to do that no longer. But yet we still see, Brother Beckner, where the Bible says in this text that I'm going to read to you, and it opens us up in 1 John chapter number 2, and it says, as he opens this up, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. Sin. We use the word sin and we use it as a descriptive term that means what? Missing the mark. In the simplicity term, in the simplest of terms, it would be missing the mark. Charlie Brown and Lucy was having a conversation one day, and Lucy looked back at Charlie Brown and said, Charlie Brown, how come you always hit the target? And Charlie Brown looked back at Lucy and said, it's easy, Lucy, when you keep moving the target. It's easy when you really don't have anything to aim for, but, you know, we live in a society today that nothing's wrong. My wife and I was in a local city nearby Thomasville yesterday, and We just see things when we get out beyond our back door, don't we? And you wonder in your own mind how that our society has gotten to the place that guys want to dress up like girls and go out in public. That's all I'm going to say about that. And you wonder what's going on in people. Yeah, people say, well, they got head problems. They may, but they got a heart problem. Hello, somebody. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying truth. So the Bible says, if you look at this, when you look at this, again, it says in the text, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you. John was writing and John was saying that you sin not. Look at your neighbor and say, sin not. And then he says, when you look at this, I really do like what he says. Because he says, when you look at this, he says that you sin not. And then he says, and if any man sin. Now, when I was studying this, the imperative word there was in parentheses. The imperative word there is if. Now, you may disagree with me, and that's okay. But this is me. If you're preaching it, you preach it your way. It's not a matter of if you're going to sin. It's a matter of when. And again, somebody says, well, I don't sin. Good for you. But for the rest of us that struggle sometimes doing things always that God would have us to do, you say, well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run with those that do, but you got a tongue that long. Come on, somebody say amen. You're in trouble. Because God says there's seven things in Proverbs that he hates, and sowing discord among the brethren is just as bad as adultery, because sin is sin is sin is sin. Oh, I need to go home before I get in trouble. I'm saying this, you may not be going out and doing that. You may not be going out and doing evil, wicked things, but yet you and I still need the grace of God. We still need God's help in the day and the hour that we're living in. When we think about Sodom, when we think about what happened there. We think about how that they were told to get out of that land, to get out of that, because God was getting ready to rain judgment upon that land of Sodom and Gomorrah. I began to think about this particular situation of the world that we're living in right now. It is so sin infested. Remember, God did save Abraham. He did save Lot. His wife looked back. God still knows how to save. I remember reading much about Noah, how that God saved those people with Noah, his family. I think there was eight of them, if I'm not mistaken. God still knows how to save in the middle of all that's going on in our world today. And I'm thankful for that. The Bible again says, if you look at this, the Bible talks about sin, that you sin not. I remember reading in the Word of God in John chapter 1 and 29, when Jesus was coming and John saw Jesus coming that day, and he began to say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God took our sins, the Bible says in the Scripture, and he's taken those sins and he's tossed those sins as far as the east is from the west. Our sins. We look at this Scripture and the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate. When we look at the word advocate, we have one that will plead our case before the Father. Paul was telling Timothy that we have a mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible said, for he is the propitiation. He is the appeasement. He is the satisfying factor in the equation that the Father God looked down from heaven upon his Son dying on the cross, and he died for every individual sin here in this place today and around the world today. Again, when John was writing this, he says this in the Scripture. He said, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We Aren't you glad of that this evening? That God, through His Son Jesus Christ, died for you and for me. Now, Alex is back there. I'm not going to put him on the spot. I told you this was in my message today. Alex is we're learning this particular scripture in Sunday school. I've got the children in Sunday school on top of their lesson learning Romans Road right now. That's what they're doing on top of Sunday school right now. So we're going to walk through that a little bit this evening, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. One of the first scriptures that you can learn, excuse my throat this evening, guys, I'm sorry. But he says in the scripture, I want to go actually back a little bit and read from verse 5 following, and this is again in 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, verse number 6 says, if you look at this, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then he says, and the blood. They sang about the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then the Bible said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It sounds sort of like dyslexia in some way, right? It sounds like where we say we have no sin, we're not supposed to sin. But then he says, if we sin, God provided a way for you, and God provided a way for me, so that we do not have to die in our sins and in our trespasses. Again, there's so many scriptures I could get to this evening. I've only got a few written down here this afternoon for us. But here's another scripture. And this is the one that Alex learned in the Sunday school class today. And I want you to learn it tonight. The Bible says in verse number 9, when you begin to look at that, and I'm sure that we all know, we know this from days gone by. He says, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful. We confess God is faithful. And then He says, and He is just. God is just. He says to forgive us our sins. How many times have you missed the mark? How many times have I missed the mark? You think, well, Pastor, I got saved in 19, whatever, and I think I've lived a good life ever since then. As far as I know, I've not sinned any since then. Well, bless your heart. But I don't know how many times I've had to go back before God and say, well, I blowed that one. Say something to her that I shouldn't have said. Say something to one of the kids that I shouldn't have said. Maybe say something to one of you that I shouldn't have said. But man, He said we confess our sins. We have to acknowledge our sins. And that's what that means. If we acknowledge our sins. I remember one time we were doing jail ministry, and that's not my cup of tea, I'll be honest with you. I can't do it. I'll leave that to somebody else. But I was standing in the outside of the jail cell one time, and there was a young man. This was still in Haywood County. And so we were trying to lead him to the Lord, Brother Russell, and teach him how to be saved. And I said, you've got to confess your sin. He looked at me and he said, well, I done this. I said, no. I said, not to me. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to admit that you have sinned. So, you know, Brother Steve back there, my good friend, the ABCs of salvation. You have to admit. Well, you got to swallow the pride. We've got to admit we have sinned. The Bible reminds us, and I'm going to jump around a little bit on this good message this evening. And it says, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Everything that's so unlike God in my life. So we're going to go to the good book of Romans. Is that okay? Anybody taking notes? You might want to write these down. Brother Steve could come up here and give them to me by heart. Brother that Jones, this is Stephen, Steve, and Steve. I got three Steves tonight. They're all great guys. Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel. So here's the first scripture we're going to get to this evening, I believe. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So if you're winning somebody to the Lord, if you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord, say, hey, it's a fact. There's none righteous. You're not righteous enough by yourself. You cannot save yourself, and you cannot be holy enough by yourself to save yourself. And I'm not saying that you have to point at people. I don't mean to point at people. That's just a habit of mine. And then he says again, when he says that there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. And then he says again, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then we flip over a page, don't we? We go into Romans chapter number 3 and we look in verses number 23. Hey, I know that y'all know this. This is a rehearsal course. You might need that this week. And this might be the very scriptures that you're going to have to rely on to walk somebody down the road of salvation this week. So Romans 3 and 23, again, he reminds us, and I'm going to skip over a whole lot of stuff, but he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says in verse number 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That Jesus did this. That is the work of Calvary that's done this. Look in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, if you will. You know this. He says in verse number 8, for God commendeth his love towards us. And I like that because he says, in that while we were yet sinners. I said one time that your sin don't surprise God. He knows about it. He's waiting on you. But he said, God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then you can read verse 12. He says, wherein as by one man sin entered in. You could talk about Adam and how that come about. And how death by sin and death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Talk about Adam and talk about how that happened. Somebody says, well, sin is a costly thing. Now, I got in my notes the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. I'm not going to take you there right now. I'm not going to take the time to do that. You know the scripture. I'll just tell it to you. The young man went to his father. He said, give me what's mine. The Bible said that the father divided unto him his portion. I was reading that today and I was thinking, how stingy, how selfish. But I thought, that's how we are. A lot of times we want God to do this and God, we want God to do that. We always saying, God, give me, you know, we always want. And he took his life and he wasted his life in righteous living and he wasted everything that was his father's. Just plundered it away. He got a job. His job was feeding the hogs. Probably one of the worst jobs he could ever got, Brother Steve. But the Bible said that he found himself, in a paraphrase, in a hog pen. Slopping hogs. Looking at hog slop. And he did eat from the husk of the corn that the pigs was eating from. They said he came to his senses, Brother Wes. He said, I think I'm going to arise. I think I'm going to get out of this mess. That's what happens to a sinner. When a sinner finally comes to the realization that, you know what, God made a way for me. I don't have to live this way no more. I don't have to live in the mess that I'm living in. And the Bible says he came to himself and he went to his father's house. You know the story. And the father seen him coming a great way off. And he said, hey, he called to the servants. He called for the other ones. His older brother got mad and jealous because he went and wasted everything. And he had never done any of the things that the other brother had done. That parable basically tells a couple of things. It talks about three different things. It talks about lost sheep and it talks about a lost coin. In both of those situations, it says where the man left and went looking for a lost sheep. Said he left and he went looking, the woman looking for her coin. And then in what I was studying from it, I said, why did nobody ever go looking for that lost man, the lost boy? Why did nobody ever go looking for him? They looked for the sheep, they looked for the coin. Because God has put it in every person's heart to know the difference between right and wrong. God has given every person a choice, a will to choose to do right or to do wrong. That sheep, Brother Beckner, may not have had a choice. That coin certainly didn't have a choice. And God's put it in the heart of every man, boy, and girl to do the right thing and follow after God. To make a choice and to make a decision. And then we see here in the scripture that sin is costly. Romans 3 and 23, let me look here. And it says this, no, Romans 6 and 23, I'm sorry. And he says this, and he says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. God has told humanity. God has told the church. God's told you. God's told me. Again, I'm not going to bore you and I'm not going to just go on and on and on and on. But there's a few scriptures that I believe the Bible has very plainly told us to stay away from. And then let me read the rest of this before we move on. He says there in, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's some scripture that I wanted to read this evening, but I'm not going to take the time to do that because it's going to get me off for a minute. So I'll go back into that a little bit later on. So here's another scripture of Romans Road. It's Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then verse 13. He says in verse number 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. My mind went back to Paul again in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas was in jail. The Roman jailer was there. He was going to take and kill himself because he thought all the prisoners would escape. And then Paul took a line and said, hey, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I wish that the world today, Brother Beckner, would get that message. I wish the world today would hear that. Somebody said, well, I have to be perfect, or I have to give up this, or I have to give up that. I like these rails now. But see, I know if I stay on this side of this rail, I'm still in the camera. If I stay on that side of that rail over there, I'm still in the camera. It was just to help me preach. No, I'm just kidding. But it is the truth if I stay within that boundary. But look, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth. Somebody says, well, I thought I was saved. I was talking again to somebody this week. I think I'm saved. What do I have to do to be saved? They were just picking on me, this particular person. I said, you got to believe in the blood. You got to have the blood applied to your heart. People say, well, we don't preach about the blood anymore. I hear preaching about the blood all the time. I hear singing about the blood all the time. But I do want to go there, and I'm not going to take the time to go there tonight. But if you go into Hebrews chapter number 10, and it talks about all things were purged by blood. It talks about goat blood and bull blood and turtle dove blood. But it says that there's no other blood but the blood of Jesus. It's the only blood that's worthy. The only one and the only way that we can be saved. Some of this stuff I'm going to skip over for the sake of time this evening. It's just not really fitting into where I'm at this evening. So we're going to read this together, verse number 9. It says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Natalie's not here tonight. I had that class over there, and Angel was one of them. I'm not going to call you up, buddy. But I had that little classroom over there this morning, the small little classroom, quoting John 3:16. They're doing a pretty good job. And I think if we don't teach the children and let them learn, ingrain within them the Word of God, that when they get older, they'll have nothing to glean from. And Angel, you going to say it with me? You don't have to come up here, but you can say it with me. John 3:16. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it's all about, is that we can have everlasting life. Verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I could keep going and I could find a whole lot more scripture. I promise you that. But if we can just learn that, we can lead somebody to the Lord. I gave you enough scripture tonight to lead somebody to the Lord on your job tomorrow. You say, well, I ain't never heard nothing so simple in all my life. Hey, the gospel, Jesus done the hard work. Jesus did the hard work. We don't have to do that. He's the one that died. He's the one that gave his life. We just have to believe. You have family, don't you? I got 3 grandboys and a granddaughter. I don't get to see them much. Rarely. Somebody says, you better take the time to see them. I understand that. But you know, I think about those little kids growing up today in the society that we're living in. And I'm not throwing off on people. I'm just saying, but Sherry and I have got a mission as well. To try to lead children to the Lord, our own family. Moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas. Take the Bible and show them the way. Show them the way. Let me just go back to my little interviews that I'm doing. Everybody that I've interviewed so far says, I want to see the church grow. Chris, almost every one of them have said, I want to see the youth in the church. See, that's part of the vision moving forward, is we want to see young people being born again. If we don't know this, we can tell them our opinion. We can teach them how to play video games. We can teach them how to do all kinds of stuff. But if they're not rooted and grounded, when the storm come and it beat up on that house, because it had no foundation, it fell, and great was the fall thereof. We got to put a foundation in them. They need a biblical foundation. We got a big challenge in front of us. Big challenge. I want you to pray for me as I pray for you, that we would forever be the people that God has called us to be, that we can see souls saved. We sing that song, we sung it this morning, and I said it's my favorite one of. There is a river. I just desire that it just flow right out of this church, symbolically, right out those doors. Wherever you go, into our neighborhoods, reach our family, reach our kids, people, wherever we're going. Let them see Christ in us and be ready to share the gospel at any cost. Stand with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, again this evening for the word of the Lord that's forever true. Father, I thank you for the word that'll never return void. Father, I pray that somebody had gotten something out of this tonight. And God, that we will take this word and put it in our heart. That God, at any given moment, when we need to glean from the word, at any given moment, that we can pull this message right back out of our hearts tonight. And we can just walk people right down the Romans road, right down through scripture that I didn't even get into tonight, Lord. Whether it's 1 John or 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 or all the ones in Romans, all throughout scripture, that we would be able to lead somebody to Jesus. God, that you would give us grace and help. Lord, I pray that we would come under the burden. The burden of souls. The burden to see our young people born again. God, give us opportunities. Open up the doorways to lead us in the right direction to show people your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that this little thought and my thoughts this evening has been a blessing to somebody. I pray you go home and have a good week.